I think for anyone who wants to take the plunge, you just need to be prepared to have a door in front of you, and you don't know what's in that door. There could be 10 men with guns in that door, but you need to be willing to go into that door. And that's how I see it, you know, setting up a business where you just need to be prepared to just take risk.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox, and welcome to the final podcast in our Middle East and Dubai series. Today, it's Conor McHugh, the founder of Alchemy Search. This is a complete and honest story of how you can build your dream in the Middle East. It's not easy, but if you stick with it, learn some hard lessons, you will forge a new future for yourself. Here is my chat with Conor. It takes courage and belief in yourself and your business idea to take the step to set up your own business. In the early stages, entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, even through those milestone moments. Deciding to commit to the idea you've been mulling over, learning, growing, and developing your skills, building a team to help you along the way, preparing to launch into new markets. Enterprise Ireland is there for all of those startup moments. From providing advice and guidance to new founders through our startup network, to pre-seed funding and early investment, we're here to help bring your ambition to fruition. To find out how Enterprise Ireland can help you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Nostra, an Irish IT company, offers world-class managed IT services, cloud solutions, IT support, and more, all tailored to meet your business needs. Whether you're streamlining operations or boosting productivity, their expert team is ready to help. Visit nostra.ie or email info@nostra.ie to see how they can solve your IT challenges today. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code FOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code FOX20 and elevate your marketing game today.
Conor, welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me. How are we?
We are very good. You're my first Dubai guest.
Oh, lovely. Proud to be here.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Yeah, you've enjoyed yourself so far anyway.
I have. I was making notes in the car on the way over. It's an overwhelming place in parts.
Yeah. No, you're getting used to the convenience. Mm-hmm. That is Dubai. But yeah, no, it's an interesting place. But as I'm sure you're seeing, there's plenty of Irish here now at this stage, and I think many more still coming.
How long are you here?
7 years now. 7 years. Yeah, 7 years. And I said, when I came here, it was a completely different place than it is now. When I came here 7 years ago, people were sort of asking, why have you come? This place is on the way down. People were leaving, you know, real estate was in a completely other side, which it is now. But yeah, I guess I've stuck it out now. I think obviously post-COVID, this place turned itself around, I think, to the world's perception. It became a lot more attractive and, yeah, very, very settled anyway.
What brought you out here?
I had an issue paying tax, I guess, was the honest reality.
Love the actual honesty. You're like, oh, loads of things, Gary. It's like, I like what you just said. Yeah, this.
No. I think, look, I was in London prior to coming to Dubai working in recruitment. And I guess it was pretty simple maths where, honestly, if your boss was going to give you, let's just say, a £10,000 bonus, you know, quarterly bonus, you know, only six was going into your pocket at the end of the day. And my view was that if you went to a tax-free place that to do the equivalent billing of 6,000, would you be getting the 10,000 here? So the no tax thing, quite a lot of friends out here have been out, obviously, in maybe one or two trips. And
okay, so you'd come out. Had you come out like on holidays or like a recce to kind of see?
No, a bit of a recce. One of my sort of closest friends, about three guys from school, they were all out here. And I guess, to be honest, you just get sick of it. You're hustling in London, and you're like, there was maybe a better life, more sun. I was probably at the stage in life where I was happy to take the risk and just go for it.
How did you make the decision? Because it's a big decision just to kind of up sticks from a life.
Yeah, no, look, I think from my side, I lived in Guernsey. I actually started my career in Guernsey in the Channel Islands.
Random.
Yeah, very, very random. Yeah. Did 4 years there.
4 years in Guernsey?
Yeah, 4 years in the G-town, yeah. I was at KPMG, so I started off in finance.
Right.
So 4 years, probably one of the best 4 years of my life, if I'm honest.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it, yeah. I went out with a very good friend, and if you like socializing, a bit of sport and a bit of work, it's a pretty good place.
There you go. Don't go to Dubai.
Yeah. go to Guernsey, yeah.
Guernsey.
And again, you got Guernsey for your... it's also a tax haven as well. So again, from the outset of my career, I think tax is always...
Seen the issue. Theme, yeah. So, fair enough.
Is Guernsey
tax-free?
It's only has a lower band, so there's no...
For personal tax or
corporate? Yeah, personal tax, yeah. Okay. So I think 10% or something like that.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, so I did my 4 years there and my stripes, and went traveling for a year to find myself, as they say.
Okay.
And
Be pray, love, and all that.
Yeah, yeah, all that sort of good stuff. And
where'd you go?
We went to Asia, Australia, New Zealand, and South America. So
there's a whole year route.
Yeah, it was a good route. Yeah, I went with three friends. Yeah, we had many epiphanies and, you know, built good relationships and whatnot. So it was good. And then I guess, yeah, I went back to Ireland then as an accountant. I had done 4 years in audit, realized I wasn't very good. I'd say KPMG probably says the worst auditor they ever had in their
book. And it lasted 4 years.
Yeah, I got 4 years out. I got the exams done. And then, I didn't know what I wanted to do, to be honest. Went back to Dublin, did contracting as an accountant for 1 year. Back in Dublin.
What hat?
Just working as like a temporary accountant for other companies. So then I got sort of exposure to the different sides of finance. And I guess I realized that I wasn't very good at it again. And had a mid-20s life crisis where I just wanted to switch career into something completely different than finance. And did a bit of, I guess, soul searching. And I wanted to do something more salesy. You know, my dad, he's an electrician. He had his own business and always sort of aspired to do something in that capacity where it gives you the freedom to, you know, be, you know, go to football matches, little things like that when I was a child. So I just wanted to do something. And he was a bit unwell for a while, and it sort of gave me a bit of a kick up the backside to sort your life out of it.
Mm.
And then did a bit of research on recruitment in particular, and just went for it. Left Dublin, went over to London.
Why recruitment?
Well, because I had the finance background, and I sort of thought it'd be a shame that having done, you know, 4 years in Guernsey and then, you know, did accounting and finance in university as well. So I'd sort of done finance for, you know, 7-8 years in total. So to completely throw that away would have been maybe not silly, but so going into recruitment in finance, you sort of had that. You could sort of have a bit of a get up from that side.
I got you. A huge advantage there. Yeah. You speak the language.
Yeah, exactly. Not that I could speak the language, wasn't very good in application, but at the end of the day, as far as a CFO could see, you've done the same exams as me, same background, so you actually have that bit of credibility.
Mm. So, and trust, I guess, with the people as well. Yes. They know, right, kind of knows actually what's going on.
Yeah. Important. Yeah. No, the trust is the big thing because, you know, recruitment can have a... There's no barrier to entry is the reality. So look, it can be a profession that can have a bit of a stained identity, but for me, that's where the opportunity is. Because if you're in an industry, it's probably one of the only sales industries where, in my opinion, probably 70% of them are no good. So that's where the opportunity was. And yeah, had opportunities in Dublin, London, and I chose London just to sort of put myself out of my pressure, out of my comfort zone. Went over there, did a couple of years there, had good fun, learned a lot. And then I had the opportunity to transfer across with that company that I was with.
To here,
yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Okay, that makes a big difference, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yep. So you have a bit of a say, you know, a soft landing from that side. And, you know, the Robert Walters was the company, and a great company, learned a lot through them. And I guess, yeah, when I came here, did 2 years again, and I was approached to set up a business with a business partner at the time. And I guess this is where it all comes into, you get blinded a bit, you know, any entrepreneur or someone who says, do you want equity? Like, that's the sexy word.
Magic words.
The magic word, which I was in the point where I didn't really think I was going to go too much further within the business I was in. So someone sort of flashes those words, you're like, oh.
That was that at the back of your mind? Because I'm always curious. I always dig in on the zero to one piece. Mm-hmm. That's always a piece where I like to kind of understand, because we have a lot of aspiring people listening who want to own their own business. And I always kind of dig in to go, right, what's the zero to one piece? Was that always something in your mind? Or was it when this person approached you was like, hey, would you like to own your own business?
Yeah. No, look, I think for me personally, the reason why recruitment was so appealing was that you learn pretty quickly if you're good at it or not. It's not like finance where I had to do 3 or 4 years of exams, experience, then you qualify. In recruitment, you know, you will learn pretty quickly if you have it or you don't have it. And then also the fact that, you know, a lot of people can set up businesses in recruitment. You know, it's a pretty easy business to model set up. If you have no stock, you know, in theory, all you need is a phone, a laptop and a, you know, a bedroom if you wanted it. But, and it's a people business. You know, yeah. Once you get on with people, understand how they click, you know, you can do pretty good. But yeah, the equity piece, and I guess, you know, for your listeners, ignorance is bliss. I think that's probably my biggest thing. I had massive imposter syndrome at the start, and you know, the guy that I went into business with was, you know, 20 or 30 years older than me, and I just thought whatever he said was gospel. And you know, we set up a business in February 2020.
Oof.
So
that's always going to be a tough start.
I'm very open with everything. The business you set up, obviously 1 month later, the world went pretty negative. And, you know, recruitment is probably one of the only industries where you actually see how the economy is doing. It's probably the first industry to really see who's hot, because if everything is cut,
indicators are there.
So let's just say, I was on garden leave for a couple of months. I thought I was, you know, the dogs, whatever you want to call it, you know, taking time off, going to start this new career, excited business, yeah. You know, I'm great. Then that gets taken away from pretty quickly. And then, you know, my business partner, you know, some of the promises he made from the outset, when you were in trouble, you see they probably weren't as true as they were. So
what did he want you to do? Like, what was his pitch to you in terms of like, hey, we're going to business together?
His pitch to me was very much, I'm coming into the region, you're in the region, you understand the region.
Okay.
So I want to come in on your coattails, set up a business, you know, you and me together, take on the world.
So he had the industry experience of like decades, and you had the local experience of here.
Yeah, matching.
Matched two together. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So we matched in, and look, at the start, Steve, he was good, but like, I'm sure you've had many listeners where, you know, a professional partnership is probably the toughest partnerships in the world, where, you know, if they go wrong, like, you know, wife, everything, or partner, it is a different thing altogether. And, you know, unfortunately, we went through some pretty, pretty tough times where, you know, obviously we had COVID, then financially he didn't have the support that he said he had. And, you know, I was too proud to go back to my previous employer and get a job with them, because I'd sort of said, look, I'm off doing this, you know, and you have to double down on it is the reality. And, you know, we went through quite a lot of, like, as I was saying to you just before we started, like, those first 12, 18 months were probably the toughest of my life, like, professionally.
Setting up a business is so hard. To try set up in the middle of COVID.
So we went through that. At one point, a good story, we had a legal case against us at one point, and because we were initially like a franchise, we were a part of thing, and look, we hadn't felt the support was there for us at the time. So we sort of said, well, look, we'll just sod it off and do our own sort of gig. And, you know, lawyers, you know, any lawyers, they're difficult people. And I'll never forget, like, how this is back in the day where in Dubai, the weekends are Fridays and Saturdays. And the opposing party, you know, they'd get the lawyers to send their legal letters that would hit us at 6 p.m. on a Friday, knowing that, you know, we're probably out socializing. And I'll never forget one day.
And it ruined your weekend. Double bodies.
I'll never forget the day where I was out and about up in one of the golf clubs having a few beers and get this email. I was like, all right. And it was the number of what we were being sort of taken, but going to be taken down for. And I thought it was $100,000. It was $1 million. I didn't read the zeros.
Oh my Lord.
They're a bit blurred at the time. So I rang my business. I said, that's grand, $100,000. And he's like, no, Connor, it's not $100,000. It's $1 million.
and dollars, not dirham, dollars.
Does it? Because they were viewing it on the, I think the franchise agreement was like 20 years. So they were viewing it over the lifetime of the business. So that sold me up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's a bad end to the golf.
But again, I was like, I didn't have much pissed about, I didn't have anything to, I was like, well, I don't even have much money to my name at the moment. So I don't know where you're getting this million from. But again, that all happened within the first 9 months of running a business.
Okay.
So you had to grow a pretty quick start. Tough start. But as I was saying to you, once you're in the eye of the storm, you just have to get on with these things. And then we eventually got a, obviously dealing with lawyers, everything, it's an incredibly painful thing where you're dealing and they cost you so much money and very challenging. But I guess the result was we came to a deal, like everything, everyone always gets a deal in the end. It was $100,000. We paid it off. And then that freed us from that business where we could set up this other business
independently.
And then...
But still though, you'd... 100,000 is a stiff lesson.
Yeah, it's a
high price for a lesson.
Yeah, it was a very tough lesson. And then I guess you had to be very open. My business partner at the time then decided to start celebrating after not celebrating for 2 or 3 years previously thought with alcohol. So he went a bit, I guess, not as present as he should have been. And that's when I, to be honest, you realize you're good enough. Like, don't worry about someone who's got gray hairs or no hair. You have to man up and just get it done. And like, even for the first few months, some of the staff were like, just do it. And at the back of my mind, I was like, no, I still need this guy. And I guess it just came to the point where we went our separate ways. And that was incredibly tough. And, you know, in hindsight now, I thought I was fine mentally, but I wasn't. For those couple of years, no matter what time I went to bed at, 3 a.m. I'd wake up for probably 12, 15 months. Even went to bed at 9, 10, even 1, 3. I just remember just reaching across the bed and 3 o'clock, whatever that was in my head, you'd wake up.
Your body had that.
Your body, yes. Yeah.
The cortisol's right.
Yeah. And then look, you just get on with it. Like the whole thing is that even for me personally, my story, that, you know, anyone that knows me, I was never the smartest, I was never the best, but I was always okay. Like sport or anything, I was never the best player, but you know, I was reasonably okay in most games. But you just have to be a bit ignorant about everything and just go for it.
Showing up.
Yeah, just get it done, keep consistent. And the reality is in anything in life, I personally think guys are the entrepreneur, they're just resilient. Like they can just get through a bit of stress. Like it's just about managing stress. That's how I actually see it for the most part. And also being able to just...
That's a lot though. Yeah. Over what period of time are we talking all this happened?
15 months.
That's a
15 years.
Since the first 15 months.
Yeah. Well, that's why now I think I was saying to you is that if something bad happens, I'm pretty relaxed for the most part. Like for me to get pretty antsy now, you'd have to like... Because I just look and I go, this is pretty bad, but is it as bad as that? Is as bad as getting that letter? Is as bad and having to divorce your business partner? It's not. And everything passes at the end of the day. So you have to just keep trucking on.
So you then went your separate ways and then you were doing the printing business on your own?
Yeah. So basically I inherited the team with me.
Okay. So you'd hired and you'd...
We'd hired, I think we'd 4 or 5 people at the time. So basically I brought them across with me to the new business and... Yeah, kept down. We've grown it to 9 people now, including myself.
How did you fund all this? Like, how did you keep going? Because, like, that's a lot of pressure. And
yeah.
Like, once you hire your first staff member, it's that moment of, oh, kind of,
yeah,
this,
you have to,
this
you have
is
to,
real now.
You have to be pretty, you know, what I say to people, my role in the business now, it's just a glorified credit controller. That's you're just chasing invoices. The nature of our business, we recruit finance, so you're fortunate that you have the relationship with the CFO, who ultimately is the guy that releases the payment most of the time. But yeah, you've got to be pretty, you know, just on. Like I've had to show screenshots of my corporate bank balance, you know, to get invoices paid. Like people don't believe, like I'm like, this is our bank balance. If you don't pay us, you know, we could go out of business. Do you want to be the...
So you've had to send that?
Yeah, yes. I actually had to send one yesterday.
That's hard.
Yeah,
that's...
But you have to get...
Exposing and vulnerable. Like, that's bloody hard.
Yeah, but the thing is, you need to push it where people are like, oh, shit, this guy actually is messing here. Like, you know, he's not, you have to rattle the cage and just show them, look, I've helped you. You need to help me now. Just pay your bill. And I guess you will get into it later on, but like in this part of the world, you know, anyone who's lived or worked out here is that getting paid, it's not clockwork. It doesn't happen on time. You know, you will get paid eventually, but you know, you're on someone else's time. And that's where the challenges, you know, in this market are, that it's not as mature or sometimes professional, but yeah, getting paid is the biggest challenge.
So like there's no like net 14, 30, 60.
You can put net whatever you want, but it's not going to be respected on the other side.
And why is that?
I think, look, culturally here, you know, you've got different clans or different tribes, and certain tribes view business in this way, and there's a mix of everything, I would say, and it's just the nature of business done here is very different, I think, and that's from coming from London or from Dublin, you know, you need to get used to that, that how people conduct business here based on their nationality will be different than what you expect. And it's not to say that we're right, you're wrong. It's, you know, I'm sure we do things that are wrong and right the other way around. So, and that just takes time to get used to. Like, even I think I was saying to you that, you know, emails can, you know, they can ruin you. Whatever you put in an email, especially if it's a, you know, pretty direct, it can really go against you. Even with laws here, they can be pretty on top of things. So you need to speak in person.
Okay. But even that's a learning, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of like, you know, nuance.
Yeah. And you've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of nuance in terms of like me speaking to you here has a lot of nuance. Whereas if we're on Zoom, it's a bit forced. If you're on an email, there's no context, right? There's no understanding of like, how is Connor saying that? How is Gary saying that? There's a lot of, so out here is even more like relationship driven.
Yeah. 100%. Like here, you've got to keep knocking on doors. And like even for job seekers is that it's, you need to find the job as opposed to the job finding you. And like this part of the world, again, it's probably the only place in the world where before you speak, you will or will not get the job based on your nationality, based on your sex. Because over here, companies will say, I want an Indian lady. So that's just taken out, you know, 80% of the rest of the candidates. Well, you know.
So companies will actually say.
Yeah, which obviously makes our job a bit easier because you know what they want and what they don't want. But that means that you could have the most perfect CV for a job. You're like, this is my job. But because they want to have they want diversity in their team, they have to go for another nationality.
And they'll be as upfront as that saying.
Yeah, and you'll have that person. You could have an Indian guy saying, I don't want any more Indians on my team. And they'll never, and they're literally as open as that.
There's no kind of like.
No, like HR or other
guys. Maybe don't say that. It's just, this is what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah. Just get on. Hey. And that's can be the frustration for people out here where you're sort of thinking, why aren't I getting that?
I'd imagine if you just landed over here and you're trying to get a job, it must be a bit bewildering.
Yeah. And you just have to keep going. And like, again, because things are different here, like companies will lowball you. Like, you know, how business is done, like they're sort of like, let's just try, give him that offer and see if he accepts it. When, you know, another country's like, just give him what he wants and he'll take the job now.
Well,
the
standard like, band.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to hire.
It's like, we have the budget, but just offer him that and see what he says. Yeah.
So these are all the new ones. That's why I was so excited to come out here and kind of learn and understand, because you hear so much about Dubai and Abu Dhabi in the Middle East, whereas like nothing beats coming out here to talk to someone like you to understand. Also, like for people listening at home, like what's the opportunity out here? Like if you're going to come out as either a founder or an entrepreneur, you've given an unbelievable insight into how difficult it can be as an entrepreneur or founder coming out. What are the other things when you came out here? Let's go back in time a little bit. What are the other things when you came out here that were like, oh, that is like kind of a bit mind-blowing? That's actually a massive challenge I hadn't seen coming out here.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest challenge. Again, I was saying to you, like common sense is not very common in this town. And, you know, if you think that's how you're going to do there's another way around it. Like there's just something that will stop you from doing things here sometimes. Like you think it's very easy. Like, as I was saying, everything here looks pretty on the outside. You know, if you look at you know, any shops or in it, everything looks nice. But when you go inside and go into the companies, you know, they can be a bit of all over the place. You know, things won't get done when they're said to get done. You know, you'll hear the word inshallah, which in my opinion means God willing will get done. So if you ask for something, they'll just say that. It just means it's not going to get done really for the most part, right? Fine. If you're going to get paid, oh, inshallah, you get paid. You're basically telling me you're not going to get paid me on time. So yeah,
it's the Irish equivalent. It'll be grand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, basically it's not happening. So
you'll get paid.
You'll get paid when I'm ready. Yeah. So yeah, I think that the key is here, you just have to understand the room. And for anyone who wants to come out here or anyone who is here, like, I think they probably would agree that you need to understand that, you know, you'll have an Arab guy over here, maybe from Lebanon, you'll have a Pakistani guy here, you might have a Western guy here. You need to be able to communicate with all of them and understand how they tick. And if you come out here with a bit of entitlement or, you know, something which, you know, Western guys sometimes have in countries like this, you know, you'll get nowhere, because the Indian guy, the pack there, just as success, more success with bigger companies than, you know, we have in Ireland. So if you come out here with this mindset that, you know, I'm coming from Dublin or London, that I'm great, you know, you need to...
This is how it's done.
This is how it's done. You know, you're lucky to have me. And that's the mindset we see sometimes with a lot of guys that come out here. It's like, well, of course they're going to hire me. I trained them with this company in Dublin or London. And they need to realize there is a bigger world than outside the bubble that they're previously in.
There's more stuff behind. So I think a lot of what you're saying is, like, there's a lot of experience and context that's needed.
Yeah.
So someone like you who's been here 7 years, you've kind of...
Yeah, I've got burned a few times, you know, sometimes chasing things a bit too direct, and you get a phone call very quickly from the other line, and it's, you know, giving you a big earful, because you need to, you know, the reality is you have to respect UAE nationals, you know, and that can be challenging sometimes, because especially if you're in work, or, you know, if you really want to get something out of some guy, but at the back of your mind, you know, you cannot get tipped this too far, because they might report you. And then you're in hot water. Well, obviously back home, if someone's not pulling their weight, you can, if you want, you can pull them up pretty quickly. Well, you have to bite your lip. And
so how do you find where the line is then? Like, how do you as a business owner kind of find where...
You have to bite your bottom lip. Quite like, we just went through the process of moving office, which took us 2.5 months longer than it should have taken. And hopefully we won't be listening to this, but the problem was, you know, effectively some sort of pen pusher guy in the property management guy that just wasn't doing his job and held everything up. And because of his nationality, I have to succumb to, you know, what can you do? It's sort of like, I'm the only one who's suffering here. We were paying rent for somewhere we weren't actually in. And again, it wouldn't happen, I don't think, in other places. So I think what people need to understand here is that, as much as it's great, you've tax-free living, it looks great, you might see your friends socializing, that there is a lot of challenges here which you wouldn't get in more sort of back home, for example. But then it's ups and downs, but it's definitely not a complete paradise, as I think what people is. You have to work pretty hard. There's no labor law here, pretty much, and a lot of people forget that. If you want to fire your whole team tomorrow, you can. Wow. And you're... the employer is in the strong seat. While obviously in Ireland, it's pretty hard to get rid of someone. So here, you know, your life could be turned upside down very quickly, because the governance in companies probably isn't as strong as it would be in, you know, other companies in other countries. So these are things people don't, you know, they just see the good stuff where, you know, there's a lot of family businesses here, and, you know, some guy could wake up in the morning and say, let's just clean shop. And it will get done.
Things change on the heart.
Yeah.
I suppose it's like anything. It's what makes you great. It makes you weak in terms of the progress here. It just seems to be relentless.
Yeah.
It just seems to be nonstop. But there's obviously a massive downside to that then, in terms of, like, you can get caught on the wrong side of a sudden decision.
And you're, as I was saying, like, the beauty of this place is, in my opinion, like, it's a dictatorship done well. You know, there's no politicians. There's no lads fear-mongering in the media. You know, everything is positive. There's nobody, you know, if the government say, let's see this area here, let's build thousands of houses, it's going to be good for the country, it gets done. Well, the reality is back home, those things don't happen as easy.
Well, right now we're seeing it coming to fore. There's nothing every day in the media, the housing crisis, the housing crisis, the housing crisis, but yet we're not building anything. Yet we won't go up above 5-10 stories. Like when you drive through downtown here, you're just like, you actually can't, your eye can't see the top.
Yeah. So they get things done. So it's, there's no real happy medium in this place. Yeah. Either nothing happens or...
Well, this is what I was trying to understand. So it's like, when you walk around, there's such an energy. There's like this buzz. I'm only here like 4 or 5 days now, but there's this buzz. It's like, you can feel this electrical charge almost. So how is it happening if there's kind of like this kind of like resistance on the other side? Like how are things actually getting done?
I guess it, people push pretty hard. I guess money talks, definitely. I think you'll people get paid pretty well in certain roles to get the things over the line. But as I said, people want to make the place better. Like you're dealing with a government or whatever that effectively they want this to keep building. And as I said, you've got your three emirates here now. You know, it's more than three emirates, but the main ones are obviously Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and now we have this Ras Al Khaimah, which is north of here, which they're going to be setting casinos up. So it's all systems go here at the moment. And Abu Dhabi is becoming a lot more popular now than it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago for expats. It's a bit more relaxed. I think as you've seen yourself being down there, that more conservative, probably more family friendly. But, you know, as I was saying to you, in Dubai, if you're big into fitness, you know, you can go down there. If you're big into golf or going for nice dinners, restaurants, you go down there. So it does cater for everyone, in my opinion.
Where is the opportunity? Because for founders listening or like people who want to come out and get a job here, like where is the big opportunity in even just say the Middle East right now and then Dubai?
Yeah, so I think obviously there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of, we're noticing a lot of people coming out here trying to get investment funding because there is a lot of cash. You know, a lot of the family groups, a lot of family offices. So we are seeing more and more founders, entrepreneurs coming out here, you know, looking for funding, for example. And with UAE in general, they want to get away from just being seen this oil and gas economy. So, you know, if founders, entrepreneurs, or whoever businesses in Ireland, whoever have good ideas, like it is a good place to come. Everyone takes care of their own. You know, you're obviously seeing it now yourself in the last few days here where, you know, there's a very good Irish community here. You know, there's business networks where people will go the extra mile to help people out. And look, the reality here is that it is so small and it's all about skipping the queue. And if you have a connection that can get you skipping the queue, you'll see things happen very quickly. So payments, fintech payments, those sort of companies are booming at the moment. Retail, obviously real estate, property management, they're all doing really, really good. But I think the opportunity here is that you just come out, give it a go. Some people love it, some people don't like it. But for Irish people in particular, that there's probably not much more, you know, softer landing of countries to come to because there's already a network of people here. Like at this stage now, for most sort of, you know, let's just say 25 to 35 year old guys, I'm sure they'll know someone who knows someone in Dubai. You know, this big Gaelic football scene, you know, there's plenty going on for people to settle pretty easy, I think.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point there about the network. There does seem to be a huge network here. It kind of feels like, so you're looking around the world now, you're like, where's the opportunity?
Yeah.
Because so the world has got smaller.
Yeah.
Technology has made the world smaller. There's no doubt about that. So as founders, you're always trying to look out to see where the next opportunity is. It does feel like the Middle East is where it's happening right now.
Yeah. Well, I think, look, you've got, obviously got UAE, then you've got Saudi, you know, Riyadh's a 2-hour flight. Yeah, 2-hour flight from Dubai. And of course, you know, it's sort of the same. UAE is like Ireland, England, UK is saying like Saudi is a massive country, massive population. Obviously, they've got plenty of money. I think the world is obviously now getting a lot more exposure to Saudi now with, you know, the Live Golf, you know, it's a lot more out there, boxing. So like Ireland, England are getting more exposure to Saudi Arabia. And, you know, they're just promoting sport. They've just got the World Cup now in 2034. So they've got the cash. Look, the reality is the Middle East is probably one of the only regions of the world where there is an abundance of cash there. And they're, you know, they're putting it out there to the world. They're spending it in different types of things. So yeah, it's a good place for now. As I was saying to you, the beauty of here for an Irish person is that to get home, it's 6-7 hours. There's a flight at 7 a.m. You'll be in Dublin by 10-11 a.m. the next day, like the same morning. So, and I, you know, anywhere east of here, you go to a Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, you know, it is that probably step too far for some people from being away from Ireland. So yeah, there's more and more people. We see it every week, obviously prominently accountants that are just all coming. So yeah, hopefully more of them keep coming out.
What's your life like out here? Like, what's your, bring me through like your week.
It's, yeah, we've a few dogs, so walk the dogs most morning, nothing too exciting. And then into work, it's a bit of a, we have a sort of hybrid work where you're in the office 3 or 4 days a week. Office now is only thankfully 15, 20 minutes away. But yeah, you're just out meeting people. Like the thing is here is people are very willing to meet you. Even people who are, you know, married, kids, a lot of them have help. So, you know, it's not a case they're being sanctioned back to mind the kids in the evening. So if you need to meet someone in the evening, they're probably more open to meeting you here.
When you say help, what do you mean?
You know, having nannies, nannies minding the children, like live in. There is a lot of that here where people have extra set of hands, I guess, in the house. So I think that frees up the wife or the husband, if they want to do more meetings. But you just have to network. Like that's the biggest thing, you know, out here is you just need to network. And it does take time. Like, and anyone in business will see that it just keep doing the simple things. There's no magic formula to anything. You just need to keep grinding, I guess, and meeting.
You said something earlier, which I actually I couldn't get a definite answer on until I came out here. Is the work week used to be what?
Sunday to Thursday.
Sunday to Thursday. Okay. And now it's changed.
Yeah, but it's in line now with the rest of the world. But Saudi Arabia is still Sunday to Thursday.
Okay. So when did that change and why, do you know?
It was madness. It happened probably two or three years now. But it was very funny. It just came out of nowhere. They just said, right, next week, it's Monday to Friday. It wasn't like, you know, there was a vote or anything. And it was all like, right, lads, this is everything. And it was quite interesting because there was a private sector and government sector, but they weren't aligned. So I think, I can't remember which one it was, but one of them was still Sunday to Thursday. So you had people that, you know, the husband might be working in the private sector, the wife is in, and they're on different timeline. But then they did change it all eventually. But again, this is the nuances of this place is where, you know, they just come out of nowhere and say, right, we're doing this now. And it's not like you can say, well, no, we disagree. It's like, well, if you disagree, then leave the country. So, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just overnight.
Overnight. Like, honestly, mate, that's what happened. Yeah, it was pretty much overnight. There was like things, I remember seeing WhatsApps. They were saying, oh, have you seen this? This has changed. And then, yeah, just done like that.
A totally fundamental change to the thing.
But like, the thing is here, because, you know, even like you're back in Ireland, you're naturally listening to the radio, hearing current affairs. Like, there's not really that here. I don't think there's any, you know, Irish person that's listening to, you know, a UE radio station in Irish. Yeah, hearing what's happening today. So you are like a bit blinded from that. But yeah, they're very, there's not much put the hands up and vote here. It just sort of says the chief says this and you get on with it.
To be fair, stuff like that coming through pretty quick. That doesn't sound like a bad thing. So like, what are you trying to build here? Like, what are you like? Because obviously you're touch wood, out the far side of your rough start. So you're in business now. Oh, it's 2020.
Yeah,
it's coming up in 5 years. It's 2025 now. Like, what's your goal?
The goal is, look, for me, obviously running a business, you know, people always say, do you want to sell? Would you sell? Well, firstly, a recruitment business is very hard to sell because it's a people business. So if you take out one or two of the main people, then the value naturally will go down. But, you know, my view is, what do you do then? You know, it is my passion. You know, I love it. You don't see it as a job, but it is your baby. You don't want to give that away to someone else. So you just want to keep building and enjoying, you know, lifestyle. You know, recently got married, you know, all that sort of good stuff's happened. And like, we're very happy here. I think that's the big difference now, where a lot of my friends, instead of saying we're going to go home in a year or two, are buying houses, you know, committing to stay. And the reason, and I'm fortunate, we have a, you know, a good circle of friends that are definitely here for the foreseeable for now. But I think it's just building it up, enjoying it. My biggest thing, anyone is probably not enjoying the good times. I'm sure a lot of your people you speak with, you get so caught up with the bad times that it really takes you down, where you actually don't take a moment to say, wow, that was great. let's celebrate that while something bad happens and it really can just, you let it ruin you.
It can anchor you, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, enjoying the good times, you know, building a good brand and taking risks. Like, I think for anyone who wants to take the plunge, you just need to be prepared to have a door in front of you, and you don't know what's in that door. There could be 10 men with guns in that door, but you need to be willing to grin at that door. And that's how I see it, you know, setting up a business where you just need to prepare to just take risk. Because if you are risk adverse, I genuinely think you will struggle. And definitely at the start, you need to be willing not to be paid. You know, you need to be the last person to be getting paid or prepare that. If you are greedy and, you know, with your team, always give them the benefit. You know, my general rule is that, you know, it's very hard to get good people. And, you know, if you lose them, like a hole is better than an asshole. You know, if you lose them in your team, so, you know, treat them well and just treat them fairly. Because look, if you're running a business, the monetary gains will be there eventually. You know, if you get a bit of luck along the way. So just keep people happy. And that's, for me, it's having that business where we are seen as a good business, and we treat people well for the most part.
You said something interesting there, which I kind of want to dig into now. A lot of people, you would hear that thing of like, oh, we're going to go out 2-3 years, come back, buy a house.
Yeah.
You hear that thing, yeah, like as if it was kind of that easy, as you come out, or you're a couple hundred grand, come back, buy a house. Why has that changed? Like, it's interesting to hear you say, oh, what, can I settle here now?
Yeah.
Like, it was only when I came out here that I've spoken to so many people that people are saying that to me. Whereas at home, there's that kind of notion of like, oh, you go out, make a few quid, and then come back and buy a house in Galway. Like, there's just that kind of notion.
Yeah. I think, like, we see so many people that were here that went back on COVID, but now want to come back out here again. Like, I think, look, the reality is you can be pretty pampered here. I think leaving that lifestyle for some people can be very hard. But I think the biggest thing now, it just is the safety side of things. And, like, things are, at the moment, on the way up here. You know, people are pretty upbeat. People are happy. And because people have good groups of friends here, they're sort of stuck here. Well, you know, if all my friends sort of close group left tomorrow, then of course that would change your view and everything. But I think now that more people are buying, it is that domino effect goes, oh, they're buying, maybe we should look at buying them.
Right. So it's on an upward swing. So again, post-COVID, yeah, it's kind of on an upward swing. So it's kind of cementing you in.
Yeah, but the other side is back home. And look, I don't want to be digging back home, but, like, you know, Dublin, I'm from Dublin. I don't think any of our friends, maybe bar one, are living where we grew up. You know, people are moving way out, which is fine, but it's just not that appeal to, you know, going through all that. So while here you have it pretty easy. It's quite small. You're 15 minutes away from everywhere, where I think people probably look at it, you know, to go back home. And for some people, of course, it's great, closer to family. But I think for now, yeah, a lot of people that I speak with, they're all pretty settled here. And it's nice. Like, it's a... It has its challenges, but it's a nice way of life.
When you say pampered, what do you mean? Kind of a loaded question, because I've kind of seen it. I'm here 5 days. I'm already kind of going, I'm kind of seeing how it works.
You hear the stories, obviously, people getting cans of Coke or their, you know, WhatsApp and some guy getting the petrol man come to your house, fill up your petrol in your car without you doing anything, going to the petrol station and, you know, knocking out of your car. Like, obviously my parents come here, they're, you know, they're pretty taken aback by those things, not in a good way.
It's a bit bewildering. Yeah, I have to say, I was taken a bit aback by it, because it's just, there's deliveries everywhere. There's convenience.
It would make me an awful lazy person. I think the reality is, if you grew up in that and then had to go to the other side, I think you'd have a big shock. While if you come from an environment where you have to have a bit of get-go, then you can maybe enjoy it a bit more. But yeah, look, the whole thing is here, there's a massive labor market. There's obviously, you know, there is cheaper labor here, where they're just doing everything to make people happy and lazy to an extent. Yeah.
Is like, what's behind it? Like, so I was literally making notes on my laptop on the way over here, kind of like, what am I learning? What am I seeing? What am I kind of like picking out to share with people? The convenience is insane.
Yeah.
Like, there's everything. It's a choice of everything. Went to the, slightly off topic, but kind of on topic, Dubai Mall, went to the other day. It's mind-blowing.
Had the ski stop there, yeah.
But like the aquarium. But I know, but there's every single kind of shop in the world there.
Yeah.
Every brand, everything. I'm crazy. And then you can be sitting in your apartment and you're just going to flick open the super app and go, oh, I want one of those delivered there now. Bang.
Yeah.
Like, what's driving that?
obviously the demand for it, I guess, there's a...
Clearly, yeah.
Well, look, as you say, like, you're over here now at a beautiful time of year where you still are not seeing many people walking on the streets. So people like to just sit there, get stuff brought to them. It's not like, you know, you're back home and you just nip down to the shop to pick something up.
Down the centre.
Yeah, the whole centre, like,
freaking out.
You got to remember, like, in, you know, from May to September, like, it's very, very, very hot, where if you're working for, you know, 5 minutes, you are drenched. Like, I can remember when I first came over, getting the metro into the sort of city and having that walk, maybe it's only maybe 5 minutes outside, and like, you're obviously sweat patches. If you're wearing the wrong shirt, it's not really a good look for the day.
I was going to wear grey today. I instantly walked back in and tipped Daisy, because I was like, what are you thinking? Yeah. Taste the Irish head, and you go,
you can spot the Irish heads all right out here. We've one lad in our team. Last week he was at a Gaelic championship, and he came in raw red, like, you know, back into the office then on Monday. Like, it's just, yeah, never gets old, really.
No. It's just trying to understand these things, because these are the interesting things.
I think the big thing for your viewers is that, look, don't get me wrong, like, people always have opinions of Dubai, you know. It's built on slave labor, all this. Look, there's merits to some of those things, that the reality is that when you come here, you'll see all the different nationalities. You're going to see, you know, obviously a lot of people from Pakistan, India, Philippines, for example, where for them, there isn't really an option to go home. You know, they want to be here. They want to better their lives. And it's not like for us, we're very fortunate coming from Ireland, where if something went really wrong and I had to go home tomorrow, you know, my life is, it's fine. It's great. Like, I have a nice life back home and we're going to get on. But for these guys, unfortunately, this is the Mecca. Like, you know, in a way, it's probably similar to, you know, America. We have a lot of Mexicans, South America people, that they're, America is a holy grail for them to try and have that better life. And for them,
it's survival.
Yeah, it is survival. And it is, yeah. And that's why, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them get taken advantage of. It is the honest reality. And the labor, because the labor law, as I said earlier on, it's not in their favor.
Yeah.
And look, you do hear terrible stories, and that is the side of it which isn't great here. But then there's other sides which, like, nothing is perfect. But that's why there is such a volume of them.
That's why it's so interesting to come out, because you. I've never been out this part of the world, and you just hear so much about it. I've kind of haven't really consumed mainstream media in a long time now, but when you do, it's quite negative. A lot of it's very slanted and skewed. You don't really get the context. You don't really get this.
Yeah, don't read the Daily Mail.
That's when you have read that in a long time. But, like, even, you know, I'd only kind of read, like, the Financial Times of the weekend and, like, Sunday Times to try just keep an orbit of what's going on. And even that, like, Financial Times is great because it kind of just reports the facts. Whereas, like, Standard Times, very skewed, very slanted.
Yeah.
Not really getting the kind of the yin and the yang like you used to. Like, cost cutting in the media has killed, like, not having people on the ground. And you can just see it.
Yeah.
The reporting from London. Like, how can you understand that in London?
Yeah.
You can't, because you're not here talking to you. Like, that's why I want to come and actually spend time with people and understand, because even for, like, founders and stuff at home, like, should they be looking out here? Like, do you think people listening to this
100%
in Dublin should be looking at here going, look, I know America is the holy grail. Everyone still looks going, America, San Francisco, whatever. Yeah. Austin now is a new thing. And America is great.
Yeah.
But you think now this maybe is the kind of the next phase of development?
I personally, this is, you know, the New York of our generation. Like, it's, you know, it's the place is booming. You know, for me personally, there's 0% chance that I would have been able to set up a business as quickly as I did if I was still in London or Dublin. 0%. I actually wouldn't give it 5%.
That's a strong statement.
Yeah, no, it is, because the reality is, in Dublin or London, there's probably 10, 20 other Connors out there that are just hungry to get it done. Well, here there isn't, in my opinion. That there's not that sort of, like, in London, for example, you have hungry guys everywhere. Like, you know, that's, professionally, in any profession, the best people are usually in London or New York, sort of globally. And London, there was lots of people better than me and hungrier than me and cuter than me, whatever you call it. And Dublin, probably the same. Well, here, you know, we have a pretty good brand because there's no one else, if I'm honest. Like, it's sort of like, oh, reach out to Connor. He's the Irish guy, the accountant recruiter. And it's just because there's no other Connor recruit and finance.
But that's a key insight, I think. It's like the Seth Godin thing of the purple cow.
Yeah.
You walk past a field, you see all cows, you're like, purple cow.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of have, like, what's your hidden advantage? Like, what's your secret sauce? I ask founders this all the time, like, what's your secret sauce? And sometimes you're kind of struggling to can I explain it? But you've explained it very well there, kind of, you know, on a side note, you've kind of explained it very well, going, what's rare?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What you do is quite rare.
Yeah.
You're not kind of like...
the best of a bad bunch.
But you know what I mean? Like, you're taking a huge risk. You're putting yourself out there. You've come, it's been incredibly challenging. But if you do establish yourself, you now have a moat, right? Every business wants a moat. What's your moat?
Yeah,
your moat is you. And because you've taken that risk, your moat is you've established yourself. It's like, you know, the old frontier. You're willing to go out into the unknown to kind of put out an outpost and go, okay, we've established this.
Yeah, but and the thing is, for, you know, anyone thinking about it, the big thing I see here is that you're going to have the massive corporates here, but it's just a much smaller scale. So like the big recruitment organizations, the global big guys, and they're all great companies, but Middle East is not their mecca. Like, you know, it's a bit down the chain for that. So it's not taken as seriously. They have to get everything approved by London, while there's not as many independent guys out here. So even not just in recruitment, for anyone in any industry, you know, if you do your homework about this market, you'll probably notice that maybe a big company that you're competing with in Dublin or wherever, they might be here, but it's a much smaller scale.
Okay.
And
more of an even playing field for the smaller operator.
Much. Well, because the reality is that they're not going to have as big teams here because the cost perspective of you know, having those teams. So I think that's why, for founders or entrepreneurs, that's where the advantage is here. And also, if you can, as I said, I keep harping on about it, if you can understand how to work all the people, work with the different tribes, understand them, that's how you'll get ahead. And that's very unique, because in other parts of the world, in Dublin, it's just all, you know, Dublin guys or whatever, or country guys, you need to work both them, you're going to be fine. Well, here you need to work with French guys, Algerian guys, then Egyptian guys, and you have to work all those sides. And then that's where the advantage is, because some cultures, some companies will be better than others, but here, that's where the playing field, you can, it really is a lever. And also, if you're hungry, because in sales, for example, in recruitment, I see a lot of our competitors that the lads are getting paid pretty well anyway, so they're not as hungry.
Okay.
And that's the big thing. Let's say their base is good. Well, when I was in London, your base isn't great, but out here, you're getting your base here. Like, grand, I'm getting tax-free bonus. You know what? I'm going to cancel that meeting tomorrow. Well, in London, they're hungry. They're out. They're on the streets getting it done.
So you need to bring that mindset.
Yeah, you need to bring that mindset. And that's where I think the massive opportunity is, that people get lazy here. People get relaxed. And in business or running a business, that's where, as long as you keep your head on your shoulders, and look, at times I probably haven't had that, but, you know, pretty good now, where that's where you can get ahead, because not everyone's operating at the same levels.
What do you wish you'd known? Chatting to Connor. I normally don't ask this question because it's quite cliched, but I think here it actually applies really well, because there's so much change and so much learnings. What if you could talk to Connor 2020, like, what are the kind of like the couple of main lessons you're like, you must know this. This will save you time, money, heartache, whatever.
Yeah, I think just stay positive. It is genuinely the like, just get, the thing is, I actually don't regret like all that crap that happened. I'm delighted it did happen. At the time, it was probably the worst thing in the world. But you need to remember is that, like, if you're going through a bit of grief professionally, just get on with it. Like, there's people that go with personal stuff, illnesses, you know, people have cancer. Like, that's a million times worse. Like, there's no point you getting upset because, you know, some guy is chasing you for money that you don't even have the money. So it doesn't make a difference. Well, so I think enjoying the ride is definitely the biggest thing. I think that's probably the biggest thing I regret, where I didn't actually appreciate the wins. And it's only when people say, Jesus, you've done great with that, and I'm not an ego person, but you didn't appreciate it at the time, and you get so down and depressed about the bad things. And yeah, I think, but the biggest thing would be imposter syndrome. You know, just back yourself, and I'll be the first to say I didn't at one point. I'm glad I went through it to get out the other side of it, but I think for anyone, like, you realize in life there's just a lot of bluffers out there. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they're 10, 15 years old, but when you're younger, you just look up to people and you think whatever they say is gospel.
You put people on pedestals.
Yeah, you do. But then as you get through, and even me now, I see it when we're dealing with senior guys, like, you're like, this guy's a chancer altogether. And well, maybe 5 years ago, I'd have said, oh, he's telling the truth there.
You take it at face value. Look, I say this all the time in the pod. You know, everyone's just trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
We're all just...
Just say yes, sir, and then worry about it later.
All right. So some people, I did a 400th episode, kind of ask me anything, and people are like, oh, what's the biggest learnings and blah, blah, blah. And I was saying, like, we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, like, be open, be honest. That's what I'm enjoying this conversation. It's very open, be honest. Like, be open, be honest, be vulnerable. Don't pretend like you know it all.
No, exactly.
But then you know it all, people.
No, it's like, don't bluff. Because the thing is, even for us, the business, like, our social media, like, it's pretty fun. Like, we're just a recruiting company. There's no point us trying to pretend we're some big corporate, you know, professional guys, because that's not me. Like, anyone knows me, I'm not that sort of guy.
But that's your secret sauce. And I say this to founders all the time. Don't pretend to be a big company, because people don't really like big companies. They don't really like that. Yeah. They want to deal with Connor. Like, so instead of like, oh, hold on, let me transfer you to my marketing department. Marketing department, Neil, use that to your advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the thing is, like, even, you know, when I'm writing, like, I'm pretty sure I'm dyslexic. Like, my writing, it can be terrible at times, and there's mistakes. And you send an email, and you're like, shouldn't have sent that. They're going to like, who's this clown? He's meant to be running a business. He can't even word sentences properly sometimes. But yeah, I said, I think it is being authentic. And obviously the big thing now is personal brands. I think for any founder, entrepreneur, like, that's your key. Like, my whole vision, you know, is very simple, is that, you know, if people want to work with you, they'll work with you. If they don't, they won't. But if they don't know about you, they'll never work with you. And that's just fact. And that's why we put ourselves out there. And like, a lot of people mightn't like some of the stuff, but you know, and the biggest learning curve, which I probably has, you don't really care what people think anymore. You know, I think when we started, I was sort of like, oh, what would someone back home think of that? Or you said the point, I don't care.
But I think being out here, actually, it's funny you say that, the personal brand thing, I'm all over that at the minute. I am like adamant that founders should be building personal brands, and it's kind of something I'm exploring as a kind of a side add on to the podcast. But do you think being away from home helps? Do you think, does that give you the kind of like, look, no one knows me, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Like, there's always that mentality, you know, small town, everywhere. You just have to have the mindset not to give a shit, but don't think what people think, just get on with it. And being away, because of course there's always going to be begrudges. Like, Irish people are very synonymous for, you know, begrudging people for whatever. I'm not trying to say we're a big success or anything like that, but you're always going to have that. And you just need to get on with it. And that's why somewhere like here is very progressive, because everyone's in the same boat. Mm. You know, you meet any Irish person, it's not like they were born and reared here from the outset. Obviously that generation is going to come now down the line. But, you know, someone our age, the reality is they came from somewhere in Ireland or London, wherever it is, and they came out here. So people look after each other for the most part out here. So yeah, I think, yeah, again, ignorance is bliss, but building the brand, that's the biggest thing. And because LinkedIn is free, you know, when we put a post up, you can get pretty good views, and you can obviously, when you do the post, you can see the impressions. That's eyeballs, which, you know, any marketing or PR company, you have to pay them $5,000-$10,000 to get that.
It's unbelievable. I bang this drum all the time. LinkedIn is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's free.
Apart from TikTok, TikTok's a different beast, but like, it's like the organic reach you can get on LinkedIn post is
astronomical. We see it, like, when it's obvious we have a network between Ireland and Australia, people in Australia. You can see all, and that, like, for me as the owner, that's the cool things now about the business, when people are like, oh, I've heard of you, I've seen them. That's the nice thing about the business, like the money, there's a, that will take care of itself down the line. But if you actually really care about your brand, and it's bringing people along and being different, don't be vanilla. Unless you're, you know, a heart surgeon or something, that's something very serious, job, where you need to be seen as like, okay, that this lad's not pretty solid, you know.
Don't come in on a scooter, yeah, do my heart surgery. Well, like, I know what you're saying. And like, you're kind of speaking my language, because like, make them feel something.
Yeah.
And there's always another client. There's always another customer. Like, you don't have to take every one.
What people forget, and that's why, like, your point of building relationship is that for pretty much every industry, there's going to be a competitor that has the exact same service as you. In recruitment, there's the guy here, exact same service. Why are they using us? Why are they using it? It's because you build a relationship with them. And like, for me personally, is that doing events, or, you know, bringing a guy for a round of golf, you know, CFO or whatever, and my competitor brings him for coffee. Okay, and you know, around the golf, they're stuck with you for 4 hours. If they like it, don't like it.
You're going to bloody know at the end of 4 hours. Depends how the round goes as well.
Yeah, well, I'm very, very average now with that sort of things. But the reality is, in business or in life, is that they're going to remember when they need to hire someone, they're going to like, oh, that lad, he actually took care of me. He doesn't badger me as much. Well, this guy just badges me. And it's just the little things that, and I think as entrepreneurs or salespeople, is that you don't need to do a hard sell. They know what you do. You know, if I bring someone out for a lunch, or like, they know I'm in recruitment, That's it. So you don't sell, like, they know what you do. And I think a lot of people make the mistake where it's just hard selling from the start.
ABC.
It'll always be good. Yeah, I was like, but it was
close. Who do I need to speak to? Can you just let them, they'll help you when they're ready to help you. And that's, especially in this place, for anyone trying to, you need to, there's no quick wins.
Is that the kind of insight? That's the style. It's just like, develop relationships over time.
Let them come to you, nearly make them feel awkward that they should be like, okay, can I help you with this sort of thing?
Okay.
That's how we do it anyway. Of course, there might be different ways, but you just need to relax, because I get other cultures, it's not as fast paced, you know, it's very relaxed, you know, I'll get back to you.
It's kind of what you're talking about earlier, like you kind of have to find like some of the up here and here, so you kind of have to find where.
But there'll be certain people, they'll come late to meetings and they won't apologize. It's just like, what are we here for? Are we moving on? Like, and you have to accept that. Well, you know, for me, if I was back home, you'd be a little ticked off. It's like, you're not respecting the
time. It stresses me out so much. Yeah. It's stress.
Oh, you'd enjoy that out here. Yeah.
I don't mind if someone else is late. Well, like, due to a point. And if someone's late two or three times, they get annoyed. But like, it stressed me out so much to be late. I hate it. Early is on time is late.
Yeah. Well, that's, you'll enjoy it out here. That.
So what, bring me, kind of flash me forward, like when I kind of get a crystal ball now.
Yeah.
What do you think will be happening in Dubai kind of 5 years, or even kind of the Emirates, broader speaking?
So I think Abu Dhabi is going to be a big future. I think that's where, at the end of the day, so the best way to look at it is Abu Dhabi, they have the cash. Like, they have all the big sovereign wealth funds.
What's that, from oil?
Yeah, oil, then, yeah, so like Mubadala, the crowd that own Man City, like, that's all down there.
Okay.
Dubai is very much private companies. You know, you'll have a lot more sort of expats up here. While in Abu Dhabi, you know, anyone who's down there, you know, it's more conservative. It is becoming more and more, not westernized, but expat. There is more and more people moving there, but it's a lot more spread out. Like, there's no big high-rise real buildings around that. It's very spread out. So I think for us, the business, for example, like, we're going after Abu Dhabi pretty aggressively now.
Right.
Because there is a demand for good people. They can pay the big salaries that maybe Dubai can't pay anymore. Because a lot of people are just flown into Dubai, bringing the salaries down, because you'll get some guy who will, let's just put it in simple, if it's €80,000 job, they'll take the job at €70,000 just to get a job.
Because they're just coming out.
Yeah.
Is Dubai a bit saturated?
Yeah. There's for us, the business, there's more candidates than jobs. So for us, the hard part is actually getting the jobs on. Once you get the jobs, you know, you should be able to get candidates for the most part. So yeah, I think Abu Dhabi is going to keep growing out. In Dubai, the sort of, obviously so much buildings are happening at the moment, but they're down south, the Jebel Ali, they're going to be moving the airport from DXB down to Al Maktoum down south. So it's a...
They're moving the airport.
Yeah. Well, it's going to happen, I think, in 10 years or something like that. And to like just a big, massive Emirates. It's pretty much already there. So they just need to bring everything down there. But I think that's going to drive, you know, a lot of building and investment down that side of town. And then, as I was mentioning, the Open Ras Al Khaimah, which is north, it's like the county north here, they're going to be bringing casinos and everything there. So that's going to bring another...
That really surprised me. Like, a lot of stuff has surprised me, which is brilliant, because very rarely do you travel... like within Europe or something, you're like, oh my God, it's totally different. You know, there's a McDonald's and a Starbucks and all that crap. Whereas coming out here, I'm like, oh, this is really shocked me and opened my eyes. So the gambling is going to be legal.
Yeah. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be a good time. Going to get a wassail down.
You're going to get all the guys flying in from Saudi all off for the weekends. And yeah, it'll be crazy. So yeah, obviously that's going to bring... probably challenge.
Is that's a town, a city?
It's like a country town. I think, to put it for the listeners, if you think of, you know, Wicklow being Abu Dhabi, Dubai being Dublin,
okay,
and Ras Al Khaimah is Louth or Meath. It's just
right. So they're all kind of like lined up in Dublin.
All lined up.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, that's going to bring in tourism. Like, the reality is, Dubai just ticks because there's so many people coming here spending money. That's everyone's getting. Yeah, it's like the circle of life. Everyone's getting paid. This guy's getting paid. This guy. It's all flowing around. That's why, as you said, there's every shop you can think of is here. Because culturally, you've got so many different nationalities, which certain people like this, other people like this.
There literally is, whatever you are into, it's here.
Yeah.
Or from across the world.
Yeah.
That definitely opened my eyes as well. I kind of thought it'd be more traditional. It's completely open to everything.
Yeah. But even now we see, like, from recruitment to like the, you know, Africa, like a lot of the African companies are setting up their corporate offices in, you know, UAE, etc. now. So it's all happening.
And before we get to the quickfire round, what's kind of like your hope for next in a year? What are you working on? What's the big thing?
Getting Abu Dhabi up and running properly. Getting our
okay, so you're actually going to expand?
Yeah, we've thankfully Grace, Leigh, Wiam and my team. She's just relocated there, so she's going to hopefully grow out that side of the business for us, which would be great. So that's the big thing. And then also get a fractional CFO offering, like part-time here. So out here, there's no real contract market. It's a lot of full-time positions. So there's a big gap, I think, for good interim sort of roles for people.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's getting really popular at home. Yeah. Fractional CFOs.
Yeah.
CFOs.
Because the thing is, there's so many SMEs where they can't afford a full-time CFO.
Just
get a guy 2 days a week for the same price as someone more junior for 5 days a week. So
I like that. That's a cool idea.
Enterprise Ireland helps to support and fund a vibrant startup ecosystem, providing supports, insights, and network connections to the most ambitious Irish startups. From expert advice to raising funding, exploring opportunities in international markets, to strategic planning, Enterprise Ireland is here to support you in those important startup moments. For more information about how Enterprise Ireland can support you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Enterprise Ireland, helping Irish startups go global.
Right, quick fire round.
Yeah.
What book would you recommend every entrepreneur read?
What book? I'm trying to think. I haven't really read anything recently, but I'm honest, I actually wouldn't have read anything.
That's okay. Yeah. Don't read. That's fine. What's something you need to learn the hard way? This one should be easier.
Setting up a business partner. I had to learn that very, very hard, very quickly.
Pick your partners carefully.
Yeah, pick your partners very, very carefully. Because actually, a really good point to make is that never go into partnership with someone if you haven't had a row with them. And that was the biggest mistake I made, where I was approached by someone and it was all lovey-dovey. We're like, we're great. We're going to take on the world together. We never had a row. And then when you had a row, you see the real true colors of that person. And I could have been bad as well, but I'm just trying to say he was all in the wrong. But anyone setting up a business or going into partnership, make sure you have a row. Even if you go a few pints and have a row and have it all out. But for me, that was the biggest learning by a country mile, where the person's personality just switched.
I like that. That's the first time I got that one.
Not really a quick fire answer, but yeah.
No, it's true. No, have a row. What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
10 million euro? I'd probably try and grow the business in Saudi. Because Saudi for us is the big elephant in the room, where it'll take time to get there. But for us as a startup business, we haven't got the cash to basically set up there. So it'll be invested. Of course, look, you maybe treat yourself a few holidays, take care of the family back home, the parents and stuff like that. But yeah, spend it in different areas.
Invest, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 1 million euro. You can only invest it in another person or another company. Who would you back?
Who would I back now? 1 million euro. I'd invest in my brother, actually. He's taken over my father's business and he's in solar panels. So that's the sort of future now, I think. So he's sort of flat out now. He's just had twin boys 2 weeks ago.
Where's he based?
Back in Dublin.
What's the company name?
McHugh Electric.
At least give a bloody shout out.
McHugh Electric. There now, yeah. It's my dad's business.
And don't keep it a secret.
My brother's, he's sort of been groomed to take that over, but he's sort of set up a solar panel side to it. I'd invested in him because he's got two screaming boys now. So
no, it makes sense. Yeah, solar is huge at home at the minute. If you're starting again from zero in 2025, what would you do?
I'd do it all the exact same way. I'd go through all that crap again. I wouldn't change it.
Stick recruitment, stick what you're doing.
Yep. Yeah. I think, look, I'm fortunate that I love my job. I think one of the best things I did was that I was in a job I just didn't enjoy. And I took the risk of just taking, like, life is too short, ultimately. And I was in a job which I wasn't great at. I didn't enjoy. I was clock watching. And yeah, I just took a punt and did something else. And I think the biggest point I'd say to people is that you need to forget what people think. No one really cares. Like, if I set up a business and it went wrong, people would care about it for a day and then they get on with it. It's like everything in life. You know, if some scandal comes out in the news about a celebrity, people talk about it for a week and then they move on.
It's even shorter now.
Yeah,
it's a day. Like, it's on social media for a day and then it's gone.
Yeah.
What do you believe that other people strongly disagree with or find weird?
I think, COVID, I was very anti-COVID, I guess. which a lot of people, especially out here, disagree with. My personal view is that it ruins so many lives, ruins so many businesses, which people forget about. So many people's life has taken a different view because of something that, in my opinion, wasn't really killing the younger generation, but they're the ones who are actually being penalized. So, and I think that obviously when it happens, because I was going through the eyes of it, I had many disagreements because, you know, I'm fine. Unfortunately, I'm fine and healthy, but it's unfortunately ruined so many lives for nothing that they could do about it.
Mm. What's been your worst investment?
Worst investment? I think I haven't invested much now recently. When we set up initially, we invested in an office which we shouldn't invest in. No need for it. I think it was just more a status thing. Where when you're starting a business, just get away from that crap. Just get yourself moved. Even now, we went to a much cheaper office. But I think, yeah, setting up, don't try and run before you can walk, because it's just, there's no point trying to have this sort of ego.
What's been your best investment?
People on my team. My office manager, Filipino, called Bernice, for me, she's key. She's a HR, CFO, everyone, and thankless person that just gets on with it. And these are the people that are sometimes forgotten about in companies. Like, she's in the back office, she's not making the sales. There is obviously great guys within the team itself, but it's these are the key guys that you need, especially when you're starting off a business that you need to be doing revenue generating stuff and not being stuck in the admin. And having her frees me up to actually get shit done, I guess.
What's your final piece of advice to any entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur listening?
Take the risk, just go for it, back yourself, because you can do it. I'm not special, and I'm trying to say that, but you'll always find there's someone better than you, but they just haven't got the balls to do it, is the honest answer. And there's a lot of people that don't have the balls.
Good way to wrap up. Where can people learn more about you? Talking about branding and personal branding, where can people learn more about you and business?
Yeah, so connect me on LinkedIn. The business is called Alchemy Search. We're a finance and tax recruitment specialist. So all we do is recruit qualified accountant roles from newly qualified up to CFO, and tax professionals from newly qualified up to heads of tax. So, you know, anyone in Ireland or wider audience that's thinking about coming to the UAE that fits that background, drop us a message. We'll get back to you.
What's your full name on LinkedIn?
Just Connor McHugh, one N for English and American people. I got a lot of two Ns, but one N.
Perfect. Connor, thank you so much.
You're a gentleman. Thank you, Gary.